Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. A lot of people like wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Let's hear you in New Berlin. Indeed, second to none. Well done. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Tyquan Thornton of Baylor, these times are unofficial. However, if it's official, we have a new fastest man in the history of the combine.
I thought he stumbled.
That is 1/100th of a second faster than John Ross's time in 2017.
I think he should be the first overall pick, don't you?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
It's the combine. Have you watched the combine?
I love the combine. I thought the receivers put on a show. That second group, they put on a show last night. Last night was perfect for me. I had Doug, you and Doug on my radio calls and live stats for the two basketball games, and then I had the combine on the big screen. It was perfect last night. It was a perfect setup.
You want to know how much time I have watched the combine so far? 0 These are all important job interviews for these guys. They're all important job interviews. There's no getting around it, and there's a lot of elements to it. And when they come here to do the pro day, I'll go out to the pro day and I'll watch it, you know, because I care about, quote, our guys. And, you know, I'll see, you know, the various coaches that are out there, scouts and so forth. But to me, the combine is a true testimony to how much people love football. And that, you know, I mean, that's what it is. That doesn't mean I have to watch it. You know how much of this I watch all the time? I mean, I was there this morning, for goodness sakes. Yeah, I got home off the plane at midnight, recorded the Inside Penn State Athletics show. It was done by about 20 after 12. I was up 5:30. I was over a little bit 6 this morning watching the workout to get a feel for what's going on with the team, where certain guys are, and so forth. Okay? I don't need to watch the combine. It's like, okay. But you love it.
I do. I think it's fun. I know it's not the end-all, be-all. I'm smarter than that, usually. But it's still fun to watch. And also, it gives you an opportunity to look at players that maybe you never thought of before. And maybe you want to go watch the tape of one of those players and see if the tape matches to what you saw at the combine.
Ah. I I don't go back and watch any of their tape. All right, so I sit there like they were talking about what Jahan Dotson had 4.41. So I know he's disappointed because he's run 4.38 here before 4.37, something like that. So I think he might run here again, which I don't blame him if he wants to do that. So I understand his disappointment. But as the individual that has announced every catch in his career, this guy's a big-time player. I got it. We're done. Okay, if you can play the game, you should be in the game. Yeah. Meanwhile, Matt thinks the be-all, end-all is the underwear Olympics. Okay. No?
Part of it, but not all of it. I don't need to watch any tape on Jahan Dotson because I know what he can do. He's the lone exception.
No, I don't watch enough football during the course of the year. I kind of have a pretty good handle on where everybody should be, to be honest with you. You know, not perfect. But usually not bad either. I'm usually pretty close on. Because, again, I go by the theory, pretty much what you do in college is what you do at the next level. You really, you are who you are. You'll get a little bit better here and there, especially if the game slows down for you. But for the most part, you are who you are. That's why I talk about Jalen Hurts. You see what you see? That's who he is. Okay? Tony Romo was always the same guy. Never changed. Right? You look at Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is with the Cowboys what he was at Mississippi State. Same player. There's no real difference. I would say that about the Washington Commanders quarterbacks, but I think they're all in the witness protection program. I never saw any of them play.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells found.
All right. Let's go to Lincoln now. Stick with the postseason. Big Ten Wrestling Championships get underway tomorrow at Pinnacle Bank Arena. And Jeff Byers joins us. Jeff, it was really great to see you on Tuesday night. How you doing?
Likewise. Always enjoy being at the field and definitely looking forward to a great weekend here in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Did you get into the arena?
I did. We went over today to get the credentials. And you're right. It really is an impressive setup. An impressive arena, but I really like the way they have it set up here for the Big Ten tournament and checked out our broadcast location, and I do think it's going to be a really neat environment. We were talking with a couple of their staff, and they actually released a few extra 100 tickets to put up in the corners, but it is a sellout for the weekend, and they're expecting those few remaining tickets that were released here to be eaten up before the tournament gets underway tomorrow.
Yeah, they've done a great job because that was a railroad yard at one point. And what they did was they put the arena in. The city built the arena. It's not in Nebraska gets a sweetheart deal. I don't know if they pay like $1 a year in rent or something like that. but that's where they expanded the restaurants, the hotels. That whole Haymarket area is really, really nice.
Yeah, and that baseball park definitely puts you in the mind of Medler Field in a big way, with the exception of I'll take Medler Field every time for the outfield view, but definitely very similar baseball park.
Yeah, exactly. You're right about that, Jeff. That's exactly right. All right, so I have to get to – it's always refreshing when you get such incredible depth of honesty in an answer. Roman Bravo Young was asked about what the Big Ten championships mean to him, and he said, not much, really.
Yeah.
I sat back and said, look, if you were to ask Duke basketball players, what this means to them, the ACC tournament, and one of them said, well, it's for better seating in the NCAAs, I'd be like, okay, great. What an honest answer. Right. You never would hear that. When you heard that answer, what did you think?
Yeah, I think, and listen, it's going to be different for different kids. I mean, Roman's, obviously coming from Arizona. And listen, at the end of the day, there's no question. The ultimate goal in this sport is to win a national title. And that's where, your legendary status can be secured. you know, you look at, I was just thinking about this today, because Alex Marinelli has obviously had a terrific success at the Big Ten tournament. He'll be going for his fourth Big Ten title this weekend, and he'll be trying to become just the 17th wrestler to achieve that feat. But if he does not win a national title here, he is going to feel like his career had, you know, a huge void. And I was reading one of the you know, newspaper accounts in Iowa leading up to the tournament, and they're like, you know, Marinelli going for his fourth Big Ten title, but don't think for a second he wouldn't trade all of those in for one NCAA title.
Yes.
And that's just, you know, at the end of the day, that's, you know, obviously what everybody's in this thing for is to try to win the national title. And listen, these guys are competitive. I mean, they want to win everything. You want to be undefeated. You want to be a Big Ten champion and an NCAA champion. But there's not a wrestler out there that's, if they're being honest, that isn't going to tell you, yeah, if I lose a couple of matches during the dual meet season and finish as the runner-up into the Big Ten and win the NCAA title, I'll take that every time.
He was being honest.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, I give him a lot of credit for that. He's being honest. All right, so we know Penn State is a great dual meet team. What kind of sense do you have for them as a tournament team?
Yeah, I think they're going to be really, really good, Steve. You know, until you get into it, and this is a little unusual season in that Penn State has not wrestled in a tournament this season, and that is very atypical. Obviously, Penn State is usually competing in at least one early season to mid-season tournament to kind of get that feel. But just the way this season played out, that was not something Penn State did. And so, you know, it's just a little different in that regard in that we don't know for sure how this team will respond in a tournament environment. That being said, all of these kids have been, obviously, in a lot of wrestling tournaments over the years. It's not like they're going to be shocked with the tournament format. But, you know, I think you look at the overall depth of this team, you look at the top-end strength, and you look at the bonus point potential. This team is certainly, I think, well-equipped to have a very strong showing both this weekend and at the NCAA championships.
So what is Drew Hildebrand, man? What is his addition to the lineup? What has that meant, and how well do you think he has wrestled?
Yeah, I think he's been really good, Steve, and I think he's making some little adjustments. I think the biggest thing to me that's been impressive with Drew is just the way he fits in with the program. It does not feel like this is a kid that's just, you know, going to be here essentially for a semester of competition. I mean, he feels like a Penn Stater. He just brings a great attitude every day to the room, great competitive spirit. And listen, you know, he came to Penn State because he wanted to see how high on the podium he could get, and he felt this was the best place to give him that opportunity after graduating from Central Michigan. So, you know, obviously on the mat, he gives you a presence that Penn State hasn't had since Nico Megalutis's graduation, at that weight. But I think it's more than that. I think it's really been the type of teammate and leader that he's become in a very short period of time here.
You know, guys like Curtis Storace, Aaron Brooks, Nick Lee, and the aforementioned Roman Bravo Young are right there among the favorites to win again at the Big Ten Championship. Give me a guy that maybe people aren't thinking about they could make a move and make a couple steps up the podium, in your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple. Obviously, I mean, I think Penn State fans are kind of expecting Brady Berge, but, I mean, he goes in as a 10 seed, and I really think, I'm not sure if he's, you know, where he would match up with Ryan Deacon right now. I think Deacon's a pretty prohibitive favorite to win the title there at 157, but I don't think there's anybody else in that weight class that Brady's not capable of beating, and I wouldn't rule him out against Deacon. But, you know, we'll get a real good feel for how Brady's going to fare in this tournament when he wrestles Caleb Young, who he beat last year in the NCAA tournament in the quarterfinals here, presumably assuming all the seeds hold, which I think of that weight class they for sure will. And I think Brady, you know, again, he's going to go in as the 10 seed. I don't think it'll be shocking to see him in the finals. I think he could finish kind of anywhere from second to probably as low as seventh, but I don't think I don't think he'll be in danger of not getting one of the automatic bids there. But listen, I think the guy that you're really looking at, if you're Penn State, is Bo Bartlett, and whether or not he can just kind of open some things up offensively. I think the skill set is there, Steve, and he's showing he can be competitive with these top guys. But he's got to generate some offense in order to get over the hump. And, you know, it's something they've been working with him on all season, and we'll see if he can kind of cut it loose and, you know, finish significantly higher than that seven spot. Which would get him an automatic berth to the NCAA tournament, but you know, that's not the point scoring potential that they're looking for from him there. And then Creighton Edsel's another guy, Steve. I just think, you know, the commitment he's made to this team and program and to himself, you'd like to see that pay off with a top seven finish and an automatic berth to the NCAA tournament. I think he's a guy that if he finishes eighth, will have a real strong case for one of the at-large selections at that weight at 165. But, you know, those three guys are the guys that you're kind of looking at as guys that can make a significant move up from their seeds here at the Big Ten tournament.
So I want to stick on Bo Bartlett for a moment, because I always have felt that for a long time, when you go from high school to college, you do get better, but you are who you are. And when you go from college to the pros, so it's, you know, we talk about football or basketball, you pretty much that's, you know, who you are. Jalen Hurts is who he is with the Philadelphia Eagles, as an example. How tough is it for Bo Bartlett to change what's been successful for him, but now he's at this stage where he needs more offense? How difficult is that for him mentally to understand? I mean, I'm sure he's trying to convince himself to do it, but then he gets in there and you are who you are. How difficult is that for him?
Yeah, and Steve, you know, in high school, he was more of an offensive-oriented wrestler. I think last year it kind of got into his head because he was wrestling up a weight class, you know, that he needed to try to be a little more defensive-minded. And I just think, you know, it's been a little difficult getting him out of that mindset. Now, that being said, all along, you know, he has said throughout the offseason and during the season that it's all about building for the postseason. So we'll see. I mean, I think you're right. It's difficult to, you know, just turn it on in that regard. That being said, there have been some little things you've seen in terms of progress and, you know, getting better penetration. But again, against the elite guys, whether or not he's able to kind of trust his shot and open up and go for it, we'll have to see this weekend. Yeah. I think the skill set is there, Steve, for him to have a really strong showing both here at the Big Tens and to get on the podium at Nationals. But, you know, it's really up to him and how offensive-minded he can become.
Because he shows that flash. And you'll see the flash of it, and you're like, okay, you know.
For sure.
And then it's like, doggone, and then he'll revert. And it's like, oh, that's the frustrating, because you just feel like he can be a guy that can score. Hopefully that happens this weekend and puts him in a good spot. Kirk Fleet at heavyweight. Let's see. The Minnesota guy's pretty good. that's an issue. Where is he better where he can put some heat on the top guys? Because he's a top guy himself.
Yeah, for sure. He's just a really good all around wrestler, Steve. And I think he's a guy that you know, has a real understanding of what it is he needs to do here this weekend, and you know, more importantly, in a couple of weekends to get where he wants to be. And listen, I can guarantee you, for as good as Gable Steveson is, Greg Kirkley is not going into either of these tournaments thinking, hey, I'm in this thing to try to get second. That's
right.
It's not the mindset and the background that he has. So, you know, obviously that's a very tall order. You know, he'll likely get Tony Cacioppo in the semifinals. Cacioppo's been a thorn in the side over the last two seasons. But I really think you're just going to see a different strategy, and you know, I'm expecting Kirkley to be able to prevail in that matchup and get a shot at Steveson. And I think from Penn State's perspective, you know, you're hoping that you at least get that look and feel here. Obviously, Kirkley has a long history here with Steveson. It's not like he hasn't wrestled him, but I think getting a feel for him for where he's at now You know, it's amazing what a couple of weeks can do once you get a feel. And, you know, we've seen that with Nick Lee and Jaden Ironman. We saw it with Michael Kemmer and Carter Storace. You know, you get that feel, you can go back and make some adjustments and, you know, maybe turn things around in a couple of weeks if the result isn't what you're looking for here this weekend.
When Penn State wrestled Iowa in the dual meet, what impressed me is that, look, Penn State wrestles 2022 style. Now, again, this is my opinion. You can chime in because you're the expert. I still feel like Iowa wrestles like it's 1986. And Penn State beat them at their own game. And that's what struck me as though one of those, like, if I'm an Iowa wrestling fan, would take me back. Penn State beat them at their own game. How important is that for Penn State when they do match up Iowa, that, you know, they can incorporate their 2022 style but still have the ability to beat them at the 86 style?
Yeah, I think it is a big deal. And I think it's one of the things, to me, Steve, that's really been kind of a signature of Cale Sanderson's teams is, you know, a lot of these guys can beat you a lot of different ways.
Right.
You know, if you are able to slow down their attack from the neutral position, okay, are you going to be able to get out from their ride? Are you going to be able to keep on top of them? You know, the top end guys for Penn State are all looking for bonus points every time out. And I think they all have that ability to adapt and adjust. You know, Nick Lee, I don't remember seeing him hit an inside trip in a match before the overtime one in the finals last year. These guys all have a tremendous skill set. And I think, you know, the one thing that I love about Cale and his approach is that it is all about wrestling in that room. And, you know, when Bo Nickel talked about, listen, I've been in that position thousands of times, I mean, he wasn't exaggerating. And
right.
You know, all of these guys just have that passion. And I'm talking about the top-end guys. They have that passion for the sport, and they just love competing and kind of picking each other's brains. And obviously you have a top-end staff here in terms of the technical side of it. I was just watching some things they were working on with Carter Storace, and Casey Cunningham is as good as there is in the country in terms of, you know, little adjustments with technique to get guys over the top. And I just think these guys, as we've seen throughout Cale's tenure, they're going to be prepared here this weekend and especially in a couple of weekends to have their peak performance.
It's about 3.5 hours from Des Moines. It's about 4.5 hours from Iowa City. How do I know stupid things like that? I drove it. I had to drive it once. So is it pretty much crowd-wise an Iowa invasion?
Yeah, I'm expecting that's going to be the case. And, you know, listen, I do like the fact that Penn State had that dual meet under their belt earlier this season. And, you know, to go back to what you were talking about, I think the style-wise, it was good for Penn State to kind of match up and beat Iowa in its own game. But I also think, you know, kind of overcoming the momentum that you can feel swell sometimes in that arena. You know, it feels like things are going against you, calls may be going against you, and you can just feel the crowd and the wrestlers drawing on that. And I thought Penn State just did a nice job of kind of steadying through that and just taking control of the matches where they needed to take control at the key times. And, you know, these guys aren't going to be fazed by crowd. I think they'll draw energy from the crowd, whether it's for or against them. But, yeah, with, you know, Nebraska obviously hosting the event, expecting a large Nebraska contingent, but I would expect Iowa's going to have a very strong showing. And listen, Penn State will have its fair share of fans here. Penn State travels very well, obviously, these days. But, yeah, I think it's largely going to be an Iowa-Nebraska crowd here at in Lincoln.
I just felt like watching them in Carver-Hawkeye, they blocked that whole thing out.
The
mental toughness, I thought, was like, that's very nice. That's adorable you're here tonight. Thanks for showing up.
Everybody talks about doing that. It's just easier said than done.
Right.
I did think Penn State did a really, really good job of doing that this year.
Because I was there a couple days before you were there.
Yeah.
And that's all everybody kept talking to me about. Right? Oh, this is going to be big on Saturday. Yeah, I got it.
I'll be watching. I got it. I low-keyed it. So I was like, it's I want to wish you the best of luck. You're going to need it. All right. Jeff, always a pleasure. Get ready. Rest that voice. Can't wait to hear it this weekend with your usual brilliance.
Looking forward to it. Should be a whole lot of fun, a lot of great matches, both involving Penn Staters and not.
CBS News, I think
the level of competition this weekend is going to be as good as we've seen at the Big Ten tournament, and that's saying something since this is the premier tournament every year.
Every year. Jeff, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Steve.
Party. All right, so we'll go from something fun to then obviously not so fun. CBS News is coming up.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Let's hear it out there in Shamokin Dam. Yes, indeed, second to none. All the Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the dynamic duo back together again, Matt Catrillo and the King.
King!
Groover. What a fool.
Well, I try not to be one, but that's okay.
No. I'm at Studio 7 for the final time.
Oh. There you go. Okay. There you go.
Going on the market next week. They're taking pictures Monday.
Great.
Oh, boy. Well,
yeah, you put a lot of work in.
Oh, yeah. Well, we still got a weekend's worth of work, but we're okay. They say it'll be gone pretty quick, so we'll see. But we're like broke. You know?
No, but I mean, everything goes fast these days. Real estate market, things are just flying. Left and right.
Too many, well, not too many. A lot of buyers and not enough homes. So,
I mean, Matt put up Luke and Mark's bedrooms for sale. I mean, they're gone.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells found.
I mean, some people are more desperate for money than others. I mean, Lisa was not in favor of this.
Pretty scary times, though. Oh, kind of freaky last night when they hit that nuclear thing.
Well, I sort of heard about it.
Oh my God!
I sort of heard about it, but I had a game last night, so I was on the way to the airport, and we're like, okay, it's like.
That's a disaster if they do that, boy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. But I guess they took it over. Enough of that. Everyone's had enough of it. So, but I find it interesting the different athletes speaking out on it. So, dead or Russian. So, taking quite a chance, you know. Ovechkin was like, you could see the look in his face like he had fear, you know, because he'll kill you if you don't do what he wants. So,
yeah,
and he fears for his family, you know. So, there was something I wanted to talk about this week. I can't remember what it is.
was it Coach K? Coach K's final home game tomorrow. Every Duke player is invited back.
But he's a wonderful guy, and
yes, no, you know, the few times I've met him, I liked him.
No, nothing. He's won the right way. So
yeah, it's a
good man. You know.
Few times I met him, I liked him. Wife, same way, Mickey Krzyzewski. You know, she couldn't have been any nicer to me. So, yeah, no. Nice
I'll definitely
people.
Be watching tomorrow night.
Now, if Coach Cal retires, I'm having a party. And you're all invited. See you, douchebag. How about Major League Baseball? You know, isn't it? I hear them wanting to give all these guys, the young guys, more money, you know? Yeah, there's a kid in Ellington, Connecticut, didn't even pitch his junior year, pitched his senior year during the pandemic, and he gets a $7 million signing bonus. I'm like, what? How much money do y'all need to make? I mean, they're ruining their own game. They're completely destroying it because people don't care that they're not going to play. So.
Well, the owners don't care that they're not going to play because let me bottom line this for everybody so they understand. What is the least profitable month for a Major League Baseball owner when the regular season starts? It's April. So they're not going to play in April. They have no incentive at all to play in April. None. It is the least profitable month of the regular season.
They start losing money in May.
Yeah. So it's like,
I think both sides are ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. You know, there's too much money going around for the product that they're putting out. Because the product, let's face it, sucks. It's long, it's boring. When's the last time anyone sat and watched a game on TV, a 9-inning game, start to finish? I know I haven't, and I used to, but I don't have time. I don't have 4.5 hours. That's crazy.
No, you know,
and when they try and change the rules, you get guys like David Price and all these guys, you can't mess with my... Well, in the minor leagues, they have a time clock, but you can't do it in the major leagues. You can't tell these pampered pets what to do, and that's a huge problem. I find it funny that Matt Serza and guys like that are the ones doing negotiating. The guy makes $1 million a game. What are you negotiating, you know?
This is the part
for the young guys. Well, you know what? They got to earn their way like the rest of us, you know? Oh, they're only going to make so much money. Oh, well, you know, then find another job. I don't get it. You know, if you're not good enough to make it to the big leagues, then you're not good enough. That's it.
Right.
Time to move on. So,
well, as I said,
these guys make me crazy. Yeah.
What I said the other day was, talk about horrible optics. Okay, tanks are rolling over the border into Ukraine.
Yes.
And you're whining, moaning, and complaining about the luxury tax number.
Yeah.
Okay, we're done. Hey, we got to take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
College basketball. I asked the suit one time what college basketball meant to him. He said about $2 million a year contractually. I mean, it's not the kind of emotion I was looking for.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells fouled up.
All right, well, last week, we were all bad last week, but King, because of that stinking St. Mary's pick, although I give you credit.
Way to go.
Won last week.
Great.
So, therefore, King and I are now 8-7, two games behind Steve at 10-5.
St. Mary's pick was an awesome pick. I loved it. I watched every second of that game. I thought it was a great game.
Those guys hate each other. That's great.
All right, so now we go to this week. We got a little bit of Power 5, and we got some other championship games and tournaments going on. Oh, that started already. So first we're going to start SEC, Arkansas, and Tennessee regular season. Steve.
Let's see. I will go with Arkansas. It's very confusing when we do this because, I mean, the suit still believes it's Arkansas.
Yeah, we're still working on that.
It may take years.
I got Arkansas as well. King?
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on speakerphone, but I don't know how to use my phone. Okay.
Okay.
They were testing me out at the shop, and I was calling people. And okay. Arkansas, Tennessee. I'm going to go on a limb here and take Tennessee.
Okay, going with the Vols. All right.
Yeah.
Big 12 now. Texas at Kansas. King.
Kansas.
I'm going with the Jayhawks, too. Texas has been lately. Steve.
Kansas has been lately, too, but they rallied and beat TCU last night. Because it's at Fog Allen, I'll go with Kansas.
All right, now we go to the Kings, UConn Huskies, versus DePaul. Steve.
I'll tell you, Cole is a heck of a player, and I like the way UConn's playing. UConn wins.
I got your Huskies, too, Mr. King. Who you got, Alex? Well, that's a stupid question. I know who you got.
DePaul.
Oh.
No, UConn. UConn's playing really well. They're a good basketball team. I think they're going to have a good run.
I thought you knew something we didn't. All right. So we all got UConn. All right, now we're starting to mix it up a little bit. We got Patriot League tournament action. Boston U at Navy. King.
I love Navy. Navy.
Steve?
I can't pick against my friend of 40 years, Ed DeCellis. I can't pick against him. Navy.
Yeah, he's a great coach, and like I said earlier in the beginning when we were having our connection issues, Steve, I think if anybody is going to have a shot to touch Colgate, it's Navy. So I'm going to take Navy. BU's been a little inconsistent this year.
Do you know people everywhere? I don't know anyone, you know? You know the head coach of Navy. That's cool.
Well, he was here at Penn State for 30 years.
Well, I don't know that.
I know him because he comes to Soika Pavilion once a year.
I mean, you know Matt and me.
Yeah, so I guess there's a connection.
Yeah, there you go. So there's like seven connections to Kevin Jones.
I like this pick by you. Yeah. This game pick. Cool. All right. Next one, we got Delaware and Drexel CAA tourney action. King.
I love Drexel. Good team.
I'm going with the Dragons and the City Six as well. Steve?
I'll freely admit I know nothing about this game. I'll go with Drexel.
All right.
I mean, I probably should have called Dick Girardi about that. Say, DJ, give me a primer on Drexel here.
All right, next one.
You have to pay a little better attention here, Steve.
I'm going to have to. Because at one time, Brian Daly's son was playing for Delaware, but that's, but not anymore.
All right, now we got Atlantic Sun tourney action. Jacksonville State and Jacksonville, top two seeds for the title. Steve.
Who's the number one seed?
Jacksonville State. But only beat Jacksonville by 6, I believe, the last time they played each other earlier in the regular season.
So the game's in Alabama?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. I'll go with Jacksonville State. I have no idea.
I'm gonna go on a limb and go with Jacksonville here. You know, it seems like they're two evenly matched teams. Might be tough to win a second time around, so sure. I'll go with Jayville in this one. King?
Because I had to have him secretary look up who JSU is. I'm like, who is JSU? I'm picking them.
Well, Penn State right. played them once. That's why I know they're from Alabama. So,
hey, yeah, JSU gives it away, Alabama.
All right. Now we're back to some Power 5. Michigan and Ohio State for Big Ten action. Steve.
Well, Ohio State, they clubbed Michigan State, what, last night? Michigan got blown out by Iowa, but see, I think Iowa's playing the best of any team in the Big Ten right now. I'm going to say it's in Columbus. E.J. Liddell's a tough matchup for Hunter Dickinson. I'll go with Ohio State.
I like Ohio State outright. Michigan stinks.
I think Phil's done a great job with them, though. I do. I think with the circumstances, I think Phil Martelli has done a great job with them. Phil Martelli is about as good a guy as I've ever been around in basketball.
Very fair. I'll give you that. King.
Begrudgingly, Ohio State. Is the head coach back yet?
No, Juwan's not back till the Big Ten tournament next week.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Which we both cry foul on, but whatever. That's a different topic.
It's all right. That's fine. They can bring him back whenever. It doesn't matter.
Maybe you could have knocked a guy out or whatever.
And finally, Coach K's final game on Tobacco Road. UNC and Duke, Saturday night. Steve.
North Carolina will crush these guys. I mean, it's going to be embarrassing. Duke by double digits.
Yeah. This is going to be over by halftime, Duke.
Oh, it won't be over, but no, it will not be over by halftime. North Carolina's got some athletes. I mean, believe me, it won't be over by halftime.
I think it will be. That first game was an embarrassment for UNC.
Every team gets better.
That's true. King, who you got?
I don't think there's any question. These players are going to play the game of their lives. Duke.
There you go. All right. We're locking them in.
You almost fell over when I said North Carolina would crush them.
That would be funny. Nah, that would be horrible, you know? But that's sports, so...
Something tells me Hubert Davis doesn't bring with him the same rallying cry that Dean Smith did. So,
well, cry. How about the other guy who used to cry every game?
Oh, Roy.
Roy, oh, my God. I could not watch that guy. He'd make me sick. You know, every game he'd start crying. We try so hard. I'm like, oh, my God, suck it up.
I'm kind of with you there on that one.